And that's where.
Done.
Okay, declare this meeting in Beverley Shire Council open. And welcome you all. We have apologies from councillor Maxwell and councillor Davis and Steve Vincent. Does anyone have an application for leave of absence next month or soon after? No? No declaration of interest? Public question time, and we have condolences for Paul Broom, who passed away on the 5th of June. And moving on to item 7, confirmation of the previous minutes. May I please have a mover and a second for that recommendation? Councillor Martin. Councillor Law. All in favour? Thank you. Planning Service 9.1, we have an application for outbuildings, tree farms and wind farms. Now that's most appropriate, and we have an officer recommendation on page 10. May I have a mover and a second for that, please?
Yep.
Councillor Ridgeway, Councillor Savoy. And Stefan, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, as the report says, it's for an amendment of two existing local planning policies, one being outbuildings and the other one being tree farms, and a new one, wheat farms, which is going to be advertised as a new planning policy. If council agrees with the recommendation, we will go, hopefully, we will only for the July meeting, which lasted 21 days public consultation period, after which I have to bring it back to council for final adoption. I had some discussions with Councillor Ridgeway regarding items or aspects of the outbuilding policy as well as the tree farm policy that she wanted me to delve deeper into. And one option for us to address that is to advertise the policies as is and bring it back to council with those amendments suggested and then adopted with modification post-advertising, if that's agreeable to council. And in terms of the outbuilding policy, the concern was raised that at this point in time, we don't have a mechanism to permit people to have sea containers when they move house and they deposit the sea container at the new address and unload the furniture, and the company that collects the sea container collects it and off it goes. I don't really see it as a pressing matter at this point in time, because if it's deposited in the road reserve, which is what happened to me when I moved back to Beverley in 2017, it's just getting dropped there in a safe location where a car would have parked, you empty it, and the company that delivered it comes and collects afterwards. That being said, I have just issued an approval for a sea container as an outbuilding with a limited period for that very purpose in Richardson Street. So the policy already makes provision for that. I don't really think there's a need to change the policy to address that specific issue. I think it can continue as proposed. In terms of the tree farm aspect in dealing with water runoff and due hydrological aspects of tree farms, I think that would probably be just a sentence that have to be entered into matters that the applicant needs to address, and with the golden in brackets to the satisfaction of the Shire. So that can be easily included when I bring it back to council after the advertising period.
Okay. I'll just share that with council, my concern about that one, particularly with the tree farm, and bearing in mind the issues that we've had at Mount Kokopee with the olive plantations, so the high quality agricultural land under the tree farm policy that we're updating. Thank you, Stefan, for all the work that you've done. It was very impressive. So it was around potentially tree farms affecting underground water supplies and potentially water runoff into dams, etc., that were required to maintain the broadacre agriculture. So just some inclusion around that type of thing.
May I suggest then that you make a formal submission?
Yes.
On the advertising?
I will.
And then that will have to be considered by council, and that gives me the justification I need to amend the policy appropriately.
Okay, thank you, we'll do that. So that was my reasoning behind that.
Just on water runoff, don't forget that the way we put crops in there has stopped a lot of water runoff.
Yes, yes, no, I realise that. Particularly I'm concerned about the underground water supply, because if people put in a lot of trees, which is what's happened out here, about putting in the and drop the water table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By large amounts.
There is.
We'll be putting a submission in for that.
Well, thank you. As an example, like this, Lucan plantations. And then the conditions, there was a little permanent lake near Dahlia where they put the bluegill plantations around it, which disappeared. Now the bluegill's gone, it's come back again.
Oh. There is one aspect that I'd like to just ask you. This no zinc alone on rural properties for outbuilding sheds. Is this being told to us, or is this something that we are actually pushing? Because I don't agree that farmers, rural, not in town. I just don't understand why they have to pay extra to have colour bond. When I know personally, I would prefer zinc alone. So is there any, is that going to be more, that's it, no more zinc loom?
Yep, no, it's been like that for the last 20 years.
So, right, okay.
So I think the...
Well, I've seen plenty of sheds go up, zinc loom sheds, up around the place.
It's, the proviso there is, if they class it at 75 metres to a road, then they need to be in colour bond. Anything further...
And 75 metres from a access?
Yes. Yep. Then they can be as included. Remembering also that a policy needs to be considered when making a planning decision. Doesn't need to be adhered to the letter.
Yes.
It has to be considered. So if there's good justification not to have it in colour bond,
yes.
If the justification is solid, we can deviate from the policy.
Now, would that be acceptable to dwelling roof?
Yes.
As well?
Yep, absolutely.
As in the same parameters?
We don't have, it's really two separate things. We don't have a specific planning policy stating that you need to have a colour bond roof.
Yes, sir.
Not even in the downside. The argument that was initially offered to have something like that is that it's reflective, new zinc loom is reflective, which could be detrimental to the pilots, the soil society, but we all know that it fades very quickly to a dull grey anyway.
Yes.
Which is a lot less reflective than some colour bonds might even be.
Well, you know, most of the colour bonds like a heat sink anyway, depending on what colour you get. So.
Yep. So it's never been a real issue for us,
yep.
75 metres setback for,
yep.
for zinc loom. Most 2,000 square metre and 1,000 square metre agricultural sheds of zinc loom were set back way more than 75 metres.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions?
So, President, if I can just advise as to the source of the wind farms policy. Like the renewable energy policy, I plagiarised the Shire of Narragansett's good example with a few minor changes in there. And then Councillor Ridgway had a question as to what is happening with solar farms and battery storage facilities. Don't we need policies for those two? And I would suggest that we might need to consider those. The reason why I didn't do that as part of this exercise is that wind farms are specifically mentioned as a land use in the zoning table in our local planning scheme, whereas the other two are not. So they would be regarded as uses not listed, which would require us to advertise and consult with neighbours as we would have, or like we have to do with wind farms anyway. So it's just not specifically listed there. But I can certainly work on something similar. I think our saving grace is the lack of transmission lines at this point in time. But sure, if council's instruction is that I need to look at battery storage facility planning policies as well as solar forms, I can certainly do so.
Now, at the moment, a householder doesn't have to get permission to install solar panels.
No, it's an auxiliary to the primary residential use, so don't need planning approval.
How are batteries going to affect anything within the town? So if someone wants to install a battery in their house, does that seem to be something for which there might be some sort of improvement?
No. It's certainly not from the Planning and Development Act and the regulations. Those sort of subsidiary, it's not a primary land, just like a solar farm. It's just subsidiary to the value component of a house.
Do we know if Letus has got any views on home batteries?
Pardon me?
Do we know if Letus has got any views on home batteries given their...
Yeah, their volatility, but I don't know.
Okay. All right, thank you. Any other questions? If not, all those in favour of the motion?
Just before we do, so Stephen was asking whether council wants to progress policy around the solar farms and the battery installation, so that's not a bulk battery installation.
Yep.
My view is, I don't believe there's a raging urgency, but at some stage we shouldn't be doing it for a solar farm because it does take up a significant amount of land when they set those up.
Well, those batteries too, they're putting those battery farms, they're huge.
Yep. Okay, I'm not familiar with the less ones.
And that raises another complete set of circumstances too.
Yes.
So something for the future.
Yeah.
Okay. All those in favour of the motion? Thank you. Moving on to 9.2, the glider hangar. What's this motion? Officer's recommendation of 3.8, may I please have a movement second? Councillor Sacker, Councillor Rawlin. Over to you again, Stefan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I have some slight concerns over clearing of vegetation that happened at the site without approvals being sought. And that's why the application didn't proceed to council at the time it was submitted, I think way back in April. I found it wise to contact the relevant department, Department of Water and Environmental Regulation regarding the matter, and they eventually responded with a no objection. And therefore I don't see any issues. It is a pretty big hangar, but it is sort of clearing up what is there. They're relocating a very old, shabby looking tea hangar to the rear of the new facility. And once again, it's adding a lot of value to the aviation activities at the
airport. Can we insist that the colour is the same as has been until that one idiot used a different colour?
Pardon me?
Can we insist it's the same green that the majority of the hangars have, apart from the one that's different, because some idiot used a different green?
I believe I have conditioned something.
I was looking for it. It says approval. Sorry, there it is. Somewhere you can see. Yes. Colour bond with similar approved material in a colour pursuant to the requirements. Yeah, so it doesn't actually say anything about this. It's a similar green.
Yeah, so there is in the local planning policy, it is named, there's a colour bond specific name attached to it.
Thank you.
And I cannot tell you which is now. That's right. It is the dark green.
Well, that's all the other complied with that requirement except that one, which is unfortunate. Any other questions on this hangar?
Can I ask, on a financial perspective, how are we going with the annual fees for the gliders that are housed out there, the $100 a glider that they provide to council? How is that?
No, I mean, yeah, we've got income. I can't tell exactly how much.
And who provides that information to us? Is it increasing? Because there are increasing number of gliders.
Yeah, we've got a significant. I just don't have.
At least we can rely upon the Florida Soil Society give us a great conversation.
Yes, I believe so, and I think it's a very effective way of making contributions to the communities out there at the end.
All right, all those in favour of the motion, please. Thank you. Shouldn't say that, but I just did. Then moving on to the amalgamation of two lots in Forest Street. The officer's recommendation is on page 46, may I please have a look at second, Councillor Ridgeway. May I have a second, please? Councillor Brown, step on over here again. Straightforward.
Straightforward amalgamation where everyone else goes for subdivision. That's the chosen path, but no issue with that.
Obviously got some reason that want to amalgamate.
Yeah, I have consulted with them before they did it, and I said to them, why are you crossing boundaries with new buildings? No, they're not. So why on earth would you want amalgamate something that'll cost you 80 grand to undo?
So once they're amalgamated, they can't sell off?
No, it's one entity.
One of the lots?
No, then they get one lot of water rights. But then they pay excess water quicker.
Oh. And does it make a difference to the amount of rates? Because there's one block instead of two blocks with the rates?
I don't know. Probably does.
It probably will cheapen up your water rates. And on a base rate, if they're on deep sewerage, they'll only have to pay one lot of sewerage connection now instead of two. Maybe. Who knows?
Any other questions? All those in favour, please. Thank you. Stephen, you're still up. Okay. Moving a second to the officer's recommendation on page 53. Councillor Ridgeway, Councillor Martin, thank you. Stephen, over to you.
Are we at the southwest latest target settlement area?
Yes.
So yeah, there's just one of the many ones that we have received. It's a lot on the road. Southern Highway at Kokomi. I am advising that council is not supportive of the transfer of the property because it's very small. It's rural zoned, and there's no services there. We don't want a proliferation of these types of small blocks without any services.
Will they take any notice of it?
It's only a recommendation to them. Whether they adhere to that, I don't know.
Any questions, Steph? All those in favour, please. Thank you, 6-0. Where are we? Oh, come on. I don't like this. And Stephen is still up.
Yes.
So, application for house, water tank, and outbuilding. Officer's recommendation on page 57. No, please have a move in a second. Councillor Martin, Councillor Sattler, thank you. Stephen, are you?
They really just want an outbuilding that is going over the size limitations, wall height, roof height, and size as permissible in the outbuilding policy. We have done on that very street a number of other departures from the outbuilding policy. I don't see an issue. The setbacks are quite significant. You would probably not notice it from the street. That will sell. It's got my support.
I noticed the other day that the pad's down, I think, for the house, so probably just as well they got their application as their own.
Yes, in the nick of time.
Okay. Are there any questions, Stephen? All those in favour of the motion, please. 6-0.
Mr. President, for what it's worth, they didn't need a planning approval for the house.
Oh, okay.
That's they've exempted from having to have planning. Well, sorry, actually the zoning table says it's a permissible use.
Okay.
If they comply with the setbacks and others, which they do, so they only need a planning approval for the outbuilding.
But so what's happened there to this house on Water Hatch Road, just the edge of town here?
Yep, no, that's approved, that's all done.
Okay. So all those in favour, please. please. Thank you, 6-0. 63. Ah, you were against it.
Yes.
You have been earning your money this month. Officer's recommendation, page 64. May I please have a moment of second? Councillor Sadler, Councillor Ridgway. If you just explain that to us, please, Stephen.
Yeah, so there is a slight encroachment of our physical constructed road over their property of Alica. So if you get to the mapping for us,
page 66.
It's, Yeah, so literally less than 300 square meters of their land is being taken up by our road. It could become a legal matter if there's an accident there on that corner. It could become their liability. So it needs to be corrected,
right.
And it'll be at our expense because we build the road which should take on.
So how is that going to affect the road structure? Will it be completely rebuilt?
No, the road's already there. The road's there, so
somebody goes through there.
Yeah, yep.
Which is their land.
Yes, I know.
So yep. We take, so get the sectioned off.
Yep.
And the road stops where it is.
Oh, okay.
So we fudged.
We fudged, but it's cheaper to do this than to.
Yeah.
Redo the road,
yeah.
I would suggest.
Oh, well, really. Mm-hmm. Okay. All those in favour of the motion? Thank you. Right, Stephen, you have a rest.
Thank you.
Item 11, Officer's recommendation, page 69, may I please have a move and second? Councillor Brown, Councillor Martin. Simon, you're good.
Mr. President, I'll just have a look at those hangar fees. Gee, so we took in 4,400 this financial year in hangar fees. They paid $5,000 in lease fees as well. We get reimbursed for the water, so all up, the guy pays nearly $12,000.
Just to share with
Council,
when I first came on, sorry, I kept going back to that, we were charging them $600 a year. So at least there's something there to do something with now when we want to.
So the monthly report, so this is for May 2025, so getting towards the pointy end of the financial year. Everything's sort of starting to get out of the wash. I've advised previously about some of the wins we've had on our investments and some of our private works jobs in regards to the storm damage. So that's flowing through there. Since the previous meeting, we discussed what to do with that surplus, those funds, and that was to transfer to the reserve, so that's been done now as well. Just had the reserves investment mature yesterday, so we transferred those. It was about 760 grand that went into reserves, which has been a nice little boost for that for our reserve pot.
As you described in the previous meeting?
Yes, a split.
Yep.
As described, yeah. So, and then otherwise, yeah, I mean, a couple of works are winding down. The pool works are obviously still ongoing, and that'll carry over. And just working now on the budget for next year,
right.
Which we'll obviously have our budget meeting in July to go through that. If there's any queries about any of the variances, happy to take those.
Any questions? Comments? No? All those in favour of the motion, please. Thank you. 6-0. Okay, the next one is the council paid by authority. Number 2. Officer's recommendation, page 79. May I please have a move in a second? Councillor Ridgway. Councillor Lawler. Okay, councillors, open to you for questions on any matter that you think
You need further clarification? A lot of the works in there are major works that we're having done. Can I just ask, what's the status of the George Smith Bridge? How far off completion?
I was out there yesterday.
Yep.
They're just building up on the Westdale Road side again with the grader. Dave is getting in there. They're ready. Once he's got that done, all the base is all done. I was walking around there and had a look, and it's like landscaped. It's amazing, those guys. Really is. You've got to go and have a look. Once they get the compaction right, they'll be ready to concrete and asphalt. The concrete's been done, they just need to asphalt. So I recommend you go and have a look. It's just...
Are they allowing people to drive through it now? You could drive through that road now?
You're a councillor, yeah. No, they've been very accommodating to all the locals out there, that crew. They really have a credit to themselves. And you can actually get through.
It's not open to the public or the sort of
no. My understanding, probably in the end of July, I thought, is what Wayne Rose told us. But I'll see some updates.
They're pretty much on track.
Time and now.
Yeah, by rain, that's one good thing, I suppose.
Yes, they did mention, please tell the farmers to stop doing rain dances. So, yeah.
Okay, any other questions on those costs? Anyone have? If not, my pleasure. Show of hands for support on that motion, please. 6-0, thank you. That's right, moving on to 11.3, the budget, salaries and wages increase. Simon, this will be yours. Officer's recommendation on page 89. May I ask, is there a move and a second? Councillor Martin. Second, please. Councillor Littrow. Simon, over to you.
Yeah, so it's fairly self-explanatory. Looking at a 3.75% salary increase to be applied from the first full pay period in the new financial year. We look at doing this every year. It's changed slightly this year, and now we're sort of under a different lot of legislation. So prior we were under the federal award,
yeah,
in the federal industrial relations system. Now the state government's made all local governments to come in under the state system, the WA industrial relations system. They do things slightly different. So the federal minimum wage increase was 3.5%. The state minimum wage increase was 3.75%. And that is to apply to the minimum rate of pay. In the past, we've applied that to everyone's base hourly rate. So there's a distinction there. It's not minimum wage rate, it's everyone's hourly rate. We pass that minimum wage increase on to their base rate.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. So we've done that previously, so I'm just recommending that we do that again. And that applies to everyone on a wage. Contract staff, the contracts, and that's negotiable under their contracts then, whenever they fall due.
And superannuation to 12%.
And superannuation has been increased as well, about 0.5%.
Any questions on that?
Just after, just a little bit of clarification on the actual wording, so of the officer's recommendation. So the increase applied to all Shire staff wages, excluding executive contract staff. I get that. But in the explanation paragraph up the top, it says proposed to pass it on for employees that are under contract. It might be just my interpretation of it, perhaps. But it's just ensuring that that's the contract staff's picked up in that officer's recommendation component as well.
Well, I suppose it comes up to when the contracts are negotiated at that time.
But all contracts are going to be included in the 3.75 will include across the board all staff, whether they're on contract or not, except for the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way some of the contracts don't actually include that wage rise in their contract then with some of the staff.
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions? All those in favour? Yes, excellent. Thank you. Charges. Point four. That's the recommendation. 95. And we move on to second of that. Councillor Sapphire. Okay, Simon, do you want to leave the discussion if you think it needs to be?
Yeah, I've provided a bit of a summary of just proposed changes in the comment section of that report. So looked at bumping up the on-site accommodation charges, increased the non-potable water supply, we're quite a bit going out last year with all the roadwork and all that going on. You know, it's just an opportunity to make a bit of money, I guess. And then there was, of course, a little bit of banks when we're getting a little bit low on the debt as well. So if we can, if we get to the point where we have to pay for it, we'll be looking at like $10 a kilolitre to access the mains water. So, you know, we're charging four, it's proposed to bump it up to $4.50 a kilolitre. So I think that's reasonable. The Cornerstone Conference, I had a little bit of a look at that. I mean, we don't get a lot of bookings in there. I guess the idea that there was to reduce the community fee, and bump up the private use a little bit, but then reduce, so that's based on the hourly charge, so increase the hourly charges a little bit, but then reduce the daily charge, so overall it becomes more economical to hire it for a day, I guess. So that's just trying to make that a little bit more appealing, I suppose.
I think it's a great idea to reduce it for community use.
Yeah. Then we added or formalised a couple of fees that we have been charging, but wasn't in the schedule, and that was in relation to the trading in public places.
Okay.
And then there's just one a little bit of comment around the Blarney advertising and what council want to do with that. So we had a proposal from the editor, I think, come through the info bulletin last meeting in regards to adjusting the annual advertising. So it's cutting down really the options about the annual advertising just to one option, I think being a smaller kind of advert, and then just putting a fee around that. Noted in that proposal too was that it's likely to decrease revenue, which it probably would. Happy to have a good recommendation from the editor, I suppose. I don't really have much of an opinion on it.
So basically, the 12 month are being removed.
Well, you can still do an annual, but it's just going to be one size. So you can't have a full page for a year. It would be the... And you still have an annual fee, but it would be $550 for the year. That's what's proposed, but the size of the ad is 9 by 6 centimetres.
Right, okay.
That's per proposal.
So how does that work out for a page? Is it a quarter of a page?
That's similar to a quarter.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea if someone just waits for you don't really want a whole page taken up the same thing for a whole year. So I think it makes sense what's been suggested. Just try it anyway.
I think you want to maybe just look at, you know, it'll have to be a staged sort of thing, but I think just going for the electronic as well.
Yeah.
And cutting out the printing and
Well, I've noticed a couple of months, there's still been quite a bit. Post office and a copy of the CRC at the end of the month.
What's the print run now? It's probably on the back.
Oh, the back of the
door, yeah. I understand that. So
yeah,
okay.
No,
I'm not
yeah.
Sure.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah. 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 Okay, yeah. I would like to see us not having the print. Just that it's something that can be just there and people read it if they want. And we can't, they won't go on and read it. That's more. But anyway, the stage process and the business, so
We'll just gradually scale back and just see how we go.
Just keep scaling back.
Because we haven't had anyone come in and say, can I have a copy of the plan?
Exactly, and if we run out, then we'll
have to sign.
Yeah. So, it's just by the time factor.
Well, I'm thinking that, not even thinking the printers more than anything else.
Yeah, because the printers.
So, this is a lot of pressure on it.
Yeah, and there's the cost, and not that the economics of it is starting to not look really good either, so that's something I'd like to review, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of the cost to council.
Interesting, because there's some that don't read the blarney, and I'm pretty sure if it goes electronically, people that won't be reading it either. But if we cut it back, people are asking for it, well, then we know to make a change, so that makes sense.
Put it back up.
Absolutely.
So I think we'll reduce the print run. I'm not too sure what the budget figure will be, but I'll make it 500.
Yeah.
See what happens.
And then if there's a big jump. Good luck with that.
Oh, but if there's a huge outcroll, then we'll bump it back up a bit. So, yeah. Or we'll say, check it out online.
For everyone.
So they can still go to the CRC and get on the computer and read it online.
Have they got time to do that?
Oh, I think that.
Well, there you go. It's there. That's what it's all about. It's the service for the community.
So you're suggesting we go back from 850 run to a 500? That's too drastic in my view.
I'll
probably
go back. Go back to 700 and see.
But probably by 100.
700 is still a lot of copies for, you know, this 700 outside of Devon.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got plenty of one for every person in Devon.
I could study for us, haven't you?
So, you know. All right, further, any other
questions? I have questions. So in regard to the Hunt Road Village and independent living units, so there's been no change to those rents. So what's the reason behind that?
Yeah, just we're doing quite well in terms of what they're costing us versus the rent that's coming in. So I just don't think there's any need to increase it.
Well, I just see it as an opportunity, as long as it's fair and reasonable rent for those buildings that the Shire is responsible for to be building up, which we are kidding, and we're going to be adding to it, and then maybe putting another block up there or wherever. So it gives an opportunity to build up a capital base.
Cheap rent. Well, just transferred $55,000 into reserves.
Well, if we're going to replace it, we're probably looking at least $250,000 each one, not replace, sorry, add to it. And I believe there's probably still demand for them. I think there's quite a waiting list at the moment. Come back up again. So just because we might be doing well out of it, as long as it's fair and reasonable, that's all I'm saying.
Well, even just do it to 170.
That's fine. You want to increase it?
Well, I think a modest increase every year is probably better than sort of getting to a point where we're going, oh gee, I think we better jack it.
And that happened a few years
ago. We did have quite a big jack up.
Yes, well, that's what happened. Yeah, so. We really increased the prices significantly. So, another $5 is not much. If you agree on $5.
That tells me how much the hours are cheap.
Yeah, I know.
So, do you want to
have a bunch of other people that we've got
here?
And I've talked to a few of them up there because I give Susie a lift home and she's down in that, and I stopped and talked to a couple of people. And, the consensus up there is that, you know, the cost of living is really starting to bite them. They're all seeing it now. So if we could do it as a minimum, not go silly about it.
$5 a week.
Then I'd agree to that, but, you know.
The danger is, as we pointed out, if we don't increase incrementally, we're going to suddenly fit, we've actually got to jump to 200, which is really
interesting. Yes, sir.
And also, it will make it easier to have some co-funding if we are going to progress with other similar types of buildings to make available for people for renting. That's the part of the shop that's going on. Yep, so $5.
Yep, for the independents as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, what's the Telstra mobile tower lease?
That's what Telstra kindly paid to us to have their tower on out of the dark.
When's that up for renegotiation?
It's just been renegotiated. I tried to get fired and they nearly took us to court.
Wow.
Yeah. So they don't negotiate.
So that's well under what they're paying for other towers.
Is it? Yeah. No doubt, probably, yeah.
It is, it's about $1,500 cheaper than what they're paying elsewhere.
Yeah, okay. Well, I did try.
Yes, certainly did.
And then I was getting letters from lawyers about sign off, whatever, and so we just got on with it, to be fair.
Yeah,
so,
right.
It's pretty hard. I did try them, yes. It was interesting, but yeah, no negotiation.
Yeah, no. I mean, well, I don't know.
Yeah, interesting process, but.
Okay, other matters for the fees and charges from councillors?
Sorry, so just regarding the Blarney advertising, and so you're happy to remove the four annual charges there for the full page, half page, quarter page and small ads, and just have the one annual ad space, which is that 9 by 6 centimetres at 550, you're happy with that?
That was the recommendation. Coming from the editor, she's the one who knows.
And we'll look at reducing print by
150. Yeah. Because the other factor you have to look at, of course, the other factor you have to look at is the wear and tear on the printers. It's a hell of a job chewing our ass on the
top. This is tiring and kind of expensive.
No, it's just the wear and tear on the machine.
Okay, cool.
Okay, other matters councillors wish to raise? So if not, I think there's further few minor changes. All those in favour of the motion, please. 6 minutes, thank you. 11.5, rate exemptions. Of the recommendation, formality on page 119. I must admit I find it very disappointing that moving into the 21st century that CBH aren't rated as a full land use. I just think that's ridiculous.
We have significantly increased their ex gratia as of that point, yeah.
Does it come anywhere near what a rate might be?
Getting up there, I think, yeah.
So well, let's keep increasing.
So we have the opportunity of setting that ex gratia, do we?
What about Telstra Corporation?
No chance. Well, I mean, yeah.
Appreciate we can't do anything about it, but I find it very grating that someone can purchase land property and then not pay rates. That's the Indigenous farm.
That golf club, I reckon.
Actually, there's one name that I've noticed is missing on here. Arthur is a fantastic correspondence to us last time.
Mr. Raptor Road.
The gentleman down at on the Great Southern Cousin. Bernard's cousin.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He's not in town.
No. He's not in town.
He's declined.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay. All those in favour of that motion, please. 6-0, thank you. Now we move on to the policy for the renewable energies and the community benefit scheme. Officer's recommendation, page 121. Mover and second for that, please. Councillor Mark. Councillor Lawler. Chair, the policies are up before us and they seem to be, they are in line with the discussion held earlier in the day. Are there any other comments anyone wishes to make on these new policies?
Can I just make a comment, please? Through the policy, we talk about an agreement, and I understand that these are not binding as a policy for our council and for developers to be guided by. Should we just be dropping the word memorandum out of there altogether to make it more open in terms of what the agreement might be in the future? Because a memorandum is even less binding than what an agreement might be. I just would use the word agreement per se. As we do have the opportunity of being a little bit more
enforceable
in the future.
Well, certainly, MOU has no enforceability. Comments from Stephen, what are your thoughts?
Mr. President, it's the elephant in the room really is, as we have discussed, there's no legal backing for enforcing any of this.
So there's no legislative backing.
That's right. So I would propose we stick with what we have as a card that we can play during negotiations, and hopefully when it all changes with an act on its own or an existing act being amended to accommodate this, that's so that we can get the legal wording right. It's all really semantics at this point in time, because there's no legal backing for any of it.
We can revisit it anyway.
We can.
Okay.
Simple council submission, and we change it.
Okay.
This is based, once again, on the Narragin information that we have been provided with. I have acknowledged them in all of this. I expect that they did a lot of work.
Well, after the discussion on Friday, there's going to be a lot more people going through. So this is simply a good step. It's better to have it more based or not. Are there any other comments on that policy? If not, all in favour of that motion, please. Thank you. Then we move to 12.2, which is the use of the common seal. The recommendation on page 42. Councillor Lindsay. Councillor Law. Any comments on the use of the common seal? All those in favour of the motion? Thank you very much. 6-0. No elected members' motions have been given. There's no new business order of the meeting, and therefore, in view of that, I'd like to declare this meeting of the Devonshire Council closed, and thank you for your attendance.